Here with us today at CKDU are Dr. Andy Fagan and Dr. David Horn. Can you please introduce yourself? And first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to be here today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm David Horn. I'm a congenital and pediatric heart surgeon here at IWK in Dalhousie. One of the members that went down to Rwanda this year to go operate and do some missions there.
I'm Andy Fagan. I'm a newly trained cardiac surgeon. I trained with David, and then I trained in critical care in London, Ontario, and then heart failure surgery in Chicago, and one of the team members that went to Rwanda.
Thank you. So, Dr. David, this isn't your first mission work. You've been to Kenya in 2016. Is this your first time going to Rwanda?
Yes. So I've been doing Kenya for a few years since 2016, and we went down to Rwanda in 2019. Myself, Andy, Dr. Keir Stewart, and a few other members, just to scout out things. And then COVID happened, and so nobody did nothing for 2 years. And so we went back to Rwanda, to their capital city, Kigali, in March of 2022 for another brief scouting trip. And then the first mission was in May and June of this year.
So in June of this year, first of all, how many team members and doctors were on your team?
So we had two teams of about 16 people each, so a total of about 32 people that went down.
And I understand you operated at King Faisal Hospital in Kigali. How many patients did you operate on?
So we operated on
seven adults.
Yeah, seven adults and six children the following week.
And Dr. Andy, how familiar are you with these surgeries? How many surgeries have you performed?
Over the course of residency, we probably do, 400
close
full cases or so.
Yeah.
And then in fellowship, I think I did 180 cases. They're not all that type of surgery, but the setup and everything in cardiac surgery is similar. And then my part of the trip was organizing the ICU side of things. So that's something I've been doing, I think, for maybe 11 years now, doing critical care after cardiac surgery.
And I understand, so what was your goal? You went down to treat patients with rheumatic health disease. Can you tell us a little bit about RHD?
Yeah, so rheumatic heart disease is basically one of the two severe complications from strep throat. If you don't get the strep throat treated, then the body starts attacking different organs in the body, and the heart is one of the most common ones. The burden in developing countries is like in the millions. There's I think the last stat I saw is almost 35 million people living with rheumatic heart disease that's not getting treated. And having rheumatic heart disease can just be a mild form, but in the more severe forms, the valves get affected and they start getting narrowed or leaking, and patients then develop heart failure, and without surgery, then they will die prematurely.
Oh, can you describe the health system in Rwanda, and how many patients did you perform surgeries on?
So the health system there is basically a public system, mostly, and then their elite hospital is King Faisal Hospital in the capital city, where they would perform all the more specialized services. So in medicine, there's different levels of care, and what we do is considered quaternary care, the highest level of medicine for like cardiac surgery, neurosurgery, orthopedics, obstetrics, and gynecology, advanced obstetrics, etc. So they do that at the King Faisal Hospital in Kigali, because you need a lot of resources to do these specialized operations.
And you've performed surgeries on kids as well?
Yeah. So we did six kids the second week. Yeah, it was seven adults the first week, and then six children on the second week. We went before and screened many more in order to identify patients that needs us, but also patients that, because we haven't been there, the higher probability of survival with surgery.
Dr. Andy, can you share with us some of the challenges the team may have faced going down to Rwanda?
Yeah, for me going down, one of the necessarily challenges, but unnerving parts, this is just something you've never done before. I have worked in three different hospitals doing critical care, or three different hospital systems, two different countries as part of my training. And you go from Canada to the States, and how we deliver care is very similar. Going to Rwanda is kind of like a black box for me. You don't know what to sort of expect or what challenges will come up. So that sort of unknown was a little bit scary on our part, but we got there, and everything was fine. You know, it turns out medicine is similar no matter where you go, and the host team that at King Faisal already had a function in ICU. We just had to adapt that to cardiac surgery, and everything went pretty smoothly. But leading up to it, that was just the big worry, is what might you encounter that you haven't even thought of before.
Right. And Dr. David, you mentioned the pandemic slowed things down. How did the pandemic affect this trip?
Yeah, I mean, for Kenya, I'd canceled three trips that we had organized and ready to go in a month before, you know, no, COVID's still there. And so for Rwanda, we basically, Dr. Stewart and myself would convene often and speak to the locals down in Kigali, regarding safety of travel, how to come back and how to get all 32 people back safely. And so, yeah, it postponed. We were supposed to be there early in 2020. So really it postponed us by 2 years. And also the other teams from elsewhere in the world that usually go there, that have been there over the last 10, 15 years, nobody was able to go. So basically cardiac surgery just stopped in Rwanda for that period.
And can you tell me a little bit about the rest of the team members? So were they nurses, volunteers, and how long did you stay in Rwanda for?
I think we were there for, each team was probably there for 10 days or so. David was there for the full sort of beyond 2 weeks. And the teams were roughly similar. So there's sort of a before the surgery team consisting of cardiology who worked with their team to see patients beforehand and help get them ready for surgery. There's a surgical team that has nurses, multiple doctors who deliver anesthesia, who do the surgery. There's specialized team members who run the heart-lung machine. And then afterwards, there's another team, the critical care team, which was our part, and that consists of mostly nurses. That's where a lot of the team comes from. We brought six nurses, and then that had a counterpart of about 10 nurses on the King Faisal team. And then there's a couple of doctors and a respiratory therapist as well in that setting.
Yeah, and we also had one nurse practitioner coming for post-op care with the pediatric team, and we had our coordinator, Leslie Smith, from the Department of Surgery, that came along to help with logistics on the ground.
And how did Dalhousie University facilitate or come to be a part of this project?
So, Dal is crucial to all of this. CROP stands for Canadian Rwanda Open Heart Project. But the whole goal that Dr. Keir Stewart pioneered was to have it all Dell. So, you know, Dell alumni, people working through Dell in our hospitals here. So staffing-wise, all Dell except, I think, one person. And because of someone having to pull out. So all Dell expertise, knowledge-wise. The Department of Surgery was very generous with allowing us to use Leslie Smith. She has a full-time other job.
And Anita as well.
Yeah, and she did another job with us. And then in the Department of Surgery, we have a global surgery office. And Amita Goyal, she was our other administrative assistant, and they generously, landed her and gave her to us as well. And they were, without them, the logistics was just so massive. So those two people were crucial. And then also financial support through the Global Surgery Office, Department of Surgery, but then also the Dell alumni fundraising team under the leadership of Nadine Woon. This takes a lot of money to get this to all pan out. Our initial budget for everything from start to finish, it's almost $150,000-$160,000. And so we can't expect the people who's going to just pay that. So we've been fundraising through Nadine Woon and the Dell alumni and Dell projects. This is all Dell.
Do you often recommend students to take mission trips abroad and see if they can help?
Yeah, so Andy was one of my students, and so he went. I think it's very important for, I would say, any human being to see what we actually have. And then if you have a skill set and expertise to help other people, that's why the majority of people are in medicine. And we work in a very privileged society and privileged system. And you know, the World Health Organization and all the big health organizations have made global health and global surgery something that we all need to strive to. So for it's coming from the top down. So yes, the students and residents need to be aware of this. And we're through the Global Surgery Office, where we've now developed we're busy with developing a fellowship for that, not in cardiac surgery, but in general surgery. Having research awards, having research grants. So we're trying to get to promote students and residents to be involved in global health. Doing mission work and mission surgery for cardiac surgery is a little bit different for us to just take a student or a resident, because all the people that go, they have a specific role, and every extra person is another $15,000-$20,000, roughly. And so to take a student to just go and watch, unfortunately, doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. They have to be able to contribute. So how a lot of other programs in the world would do it is that this, students or residents doing a PhD or a master's in global health would tag onto a team. And then there's also the opportunity for electives in some of these hospitals in Africa that through the Global Surgery Office we're trying to get a list of places where students and residents can potentially go and do electives.
Can you just paint us a picture and describe your working day in Rwanda? So would you go into these surgeries for like 8 hours, and then how would you spend the rest of your day, or would it take longer?
I guess we could say each of our parts. So I went to do the aftercare, the ICU part of things, and David went and he did the operating. So my day, there was two of us who went, and I think it might have started at 8 or 9 a.m. or something, and then you're just there for 24 hours until the next day. Then you'd kind of linger around until things seem settled, and then the person coming on would do that similar shift. And they weren't the same level of busyness as something might be here, like in where I left from Northwestern Chicago. Our ICU, I think, had 23 beds, whereas we had 5 beds in Rwanda. But it's a different type of care, just because your minimal resources and weird things come up, and just being available to help make sure things go smoothly was very useful. So sometimes it was a little busy, and then sometimes there's a lot of downtime and just teaching and things like that, which was a nice sort of way for the day to unfold.
Yeah, we would usually leave the hotel in a bus that the Rwanda Medical Board gave us for the 2 weeks, which was great. So we'd leave about 7, quarter past 7, show up at the hospital just before 8, and then the teams would split up into their wherever they'd be working, and so then the anesthesia and perfusion team would be preparing and getting things ready for the surgery while the surgical team would round. So that would be Dr. Kier with the adult team, myself with the pediatric team, and their local surgeon, Dr. Maurice Massoni, and his residents. So we'd be rounding and start the surgery anywhere between 9 and 11. And then depending on what surgery we do, that could be anywhere from 3 hours to 8 hours to 12 hours. So a 3-hour surgery, something can go wrong and suddenly become a 12-hour surgery. So, but our days would usually, if we're doing 2 cases, it'd be a long day. We'd, leave between 7 and 10. And if it's a one case surgery, we'd probably leave between 5 and 7. But that'd be the surgical team after we've dropped off the patient, and then Andy and his team would take over. And then we had 2 scenarios where in the middle of the night, we had to rush back for people that got unstable in the ICU. And that was interesting experience to get back to the hospital in the middle of the night.
How was that like?
So you don't have your own car, and we're a few kilometers away. So some people would hop on a moto, which is a motorbike taxi, and which was quite an experience. Or wait for the hotel bus or taxi to show up. It's always interesting when you got to be there in 2 minutes, and it takes you 2 minutes just to get a ride. Yeah.
So rheumatic health disease, is it also very common here in Canada, and is it hard to get treatment here?
No, so it's not that common in countries like Canada. It was at one point, but it's the initial sort of inciting incident is strep throat, which gets treated right away in Canada and other countries. So if that's left untreated, then that can evolve into rheumatic heart disease 10, 20 years down the road. So it's not very common at all. So it's a very different patient population that we're operating on in Rwanda versus Canada or the United States.
Is the Dalhousie medical team planning to go on another mission abroad soon?
Yeah, so there's kind of, the short answer is yes. We're looking at maybe December. We have to make sure that all our team members are available if we can put that together, but we'd like to go again sooner rather than later. And then the longer answer is the missions are an important part, but a small part of sort of the greater plan, which should be the greater plan in any sort of global health initiative, which is to transition care delivery to the host team, which in our case is King Faisal in Rwanda. So the whole goal is actually to support them as they start delivering cardiac surgery on their own. And that's what's very useful. You had asked about partnering with Dalhousie, as Dalhousie brings that resource to the table of if there's training needs or things like that for medical training or nursing training, you all of a sudden have this huge organization that can help support those and partner with the University of Rwanda to do that. So we're planning on going again and hopefully more times, and then slowly scaling back the size of our teams and growing the size of their teams and helping them identify training needs and education needs for the future so that cardiac surgery can get delivered there without anyone coming.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. Can we get some stories from both of you, whether it's experiences or a tough surgery you faced? It can be at any time in your career. Would you like to shed light on that?
So I mentioned the sort of fear of the unknown habit. Like David has done some global health before. For me, it was the medical stuff I knew I could handle, but just whatever comes up was a bit worrisome, and I mentioned that. So when we showed up to King Faisal, they said, here's your ICU, and when you see an ICU, if you go into the hospital, it's one of the highest tech areas of the hospital. There's computers right everywhere, there's tons of equipment. And so we showed up and it was just an empty room kind of like this, and they said, here's the ICU, and they said, here's your supply closet, and it just had a single piece of gauze in it, and that was on the Sunday. So then they said, oh, just let us know what you need and we'll get it, which I had an idea of what I needed to get an ICU running, but I've never started an ICU from scratch. So anyway, so we wrote a list and we gave it to their supply chain person, which is their pharmacy department. And then the next morning, as they're operating, boxes and boxes started to show up just full of supplies and medications and things like that. And within about 2 or 3 hours with all of their doctors and nurses and our nurses, we had a fully functioning intensive care unit in the so that was just like a funny way to show up to the that I wasn't expecting, but it totally ended up working out in the end. But
yeah, appears so. What about you, Dr.
David? The beauty of these is you got to think outside the box. Interesting story that I lived through is in Kenya one year, while we were operating, there was a fire in another building.
Oh. So,
and they had to evacuate all the patients out of that building. And then they were worried that it's going to spread to the other buildings. And luckily, we were the furthest building away. But I'm like, as we're operating, I'm like, at what stage do I say, well, we got to run? But at one stage, they had all the patients in the whole hospital in the ICU right next to it, the makeshift ICU next to the OR. But by the time we were done, everybody was out and that building was gone. So he come back, he's like, really, something happened here? That was odd. But the beauty of what I really appreciate from Rwanda, two things, is the human relationships built between their local team. When we left, everybody's hugging each other, crying, and just how they appreciate that we're there to help them and their people of their country. That was very special. And then also our own team that we take from here. We work our shifts and we live past each other, but you go on a trip like that and then you live together, you eat together for 10 days, you get to know people. And you come back and now suddenly you have more friends as well. So that's special on our side as well.
Do you enjoy the teaching aspect? Or?
Oh, absolutely. And so do the majority of people in our division as well. Since I've been here and been involved with their training and been the program director since 2018, every resident that passes their Royal College exam, I shed a tear. And we all in our team at the QE2 and IWK were so proud of them. Like, we're just pumped when they passed. So it's a very special relationship that we have with them, and we're very, very honored to be able to do that.
And I guess my final question for you, Andy, is how is Dr. David as a mentor, or having him as a professor?
Well, we still keep seeing each other 3 years after I left, so pretty good. They're people. It's a funny relationship, residency training. So you're with a small group, particularly for cardiac surgery. There's a small group of people that you're spend a lot of time with for a long period of time. So they almost feel like a new set of parents, of moms and dads for you, if that is what it's like. And you go through this whole growing up childhood thing again, of learning to do something that takes a lot of effort and has a lot of emotion at times involved in it. But it's good. You develop very strong relationships with a new set of people, which is always enjoyable, getting to build those connections and having new people that you can continue this lifelong relationship of growing and doing these sort of projects together.
Thank you so much, Dr. Andy and Dr. David. Is there anything else you would like to add for Dalhousie audiences? Or?
No, just to thank everybody involved that's made this trip work. So many people that have, you know, donated money. Leslie and Amita, that has just been their weight in gold for us, getting everything done. Big sponsorships from the companies that have donated valves and supplies, Qatar Airways and Rwanda Air that gave us, they sponsored our flights across the Atlantic and into Rwanda. That's a big chunk of our expenses. And then also the other teams from Team Heart and Chain of Hope in Europe that helped us with, you know, just how to navigate to get there for the first time around. So we're very thankful for everybody's input, and then all the people that sacrificed their time to go.
Yeah, and I think I'd add, I guess since we're on Dalhousie Radio, if there's anybody who's interested in medicine or surgery and doesn't have someone they can talk to and wants to talk to somebody, we're always available to chat and actually don't mind getting cold called or anything like that about it. So.
Yeah, and anybody interested in global health, Greg Knapp is our surgeon, our director of the Global Surgery Office. He's a great resource as well.
Thank you so much. That was Dr. Andy Fagan and Dr. David Torn here on CKDU.